Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome once again to the Ed Springsteen Show. Sorry for the abrupt cut off, but by God, we've got a lot to talk about tonight. Welcome to the Ed Springsteen Show, brought to you by MVM Radio Network, home of LouisvillePolitics.com. And I tell you, we've got so many things that are going on, especially today. Our Kentucky House of Representatives made us look like fools, as usual. We'll get into that story. Some money problems, the pension problem. We're going to talk about an alarming thing in Kentucky called the State of Kentucky Debt Clock. Yes, that's right. But we can't start any of this without mentioning first and bringing on air our good friend, Mr. Dale the Truth Gillespie. How are you, sir?
Greetings, my friend. How are you doing?
Man, I tell you what, I'm actually kind of stoked. I did something incredible today. Those who don't know me don't know that I'm a pretty damn good cook. So I took today and I made a nice dinner for me and my wife. I don't ever get a chance to do that. So I'm sitting here on a full belly, wanting to find some industrial hemp to burn so I can see if I can get high off of it. Just the usual stuff, man. Just the usual stuff. You know, it's the way it is. So how are you?
I'm doing okay. I would take exception to one thing you said. The Kentucky State House Representatives, they made themselves look like idiots. They didn't make us look like idiots because I didn't support most of the people that are in there, but they like to make themselves look like asses a lot, don't they?
Well, I just mean Kentucky as a whole, not necessarily people in Kentucky, but you know,
right.
We continue. And I tell you, our good friend Clint Hardy will probably be calling in to talk about this very shortly. He's extremely upset about this thing. And what's really going on here, folks, as we know, we've been preaching this on air for the last couple of weeks. We've been talking about industrial hemp in Kentucky and what it can do for Kentucky. We have got Kentucky Ag Commissioner Jamie Comer's bill went right out of the Senate, unanimous out of committee, passed the Senate floor very easily, went to the House where we knew it was going to get stopped by Greg Stumbo and Steve Beshear because it's a Democratic-controlled House. And lo and behold, that's exactly what happened today, isn't it, Dale?
It is, and I'm really disappointed because I tell you one thing, even if it got through the House, it had to get through Papaw Beshear, and I don't know if you heard any of his interview. I don't know how early this was recorded, but Governor Papaw Beshear did an interview with Joe Elliott on WGTK 970.
Mm-hmm.
And I can just tell you, you know, this is not anything that you didn't already know, but your governor is a complete idiot. I just want to make sure you know that.
Well, there's no doubt about that. And
the
I tell you
governor
what.
Sat there, and when they talk about the hemp issue, he couldn't get away from, like you said, they always think hemp is marijuana and marijuana is hemp. But then he also sat there and told Joe Elliott that, the farmers are already doing really good on some crops. So why would they abandon the crops that are making them good money and going to hemp?
Well, for one thing, the governor is full of garbage because farmers are starving right now. That's one of the big deals. And as we've reported in previous stories, one of the best stories I like comes off of WFPL. And these guys did a pretty good story about Steve Beshear and industrial hemp, you know, not too long ago. And basically what it boils down to is Steve Beshear said he wasn't going to allow industrial hemp because, you know, he feels like that the state police commissioner is right. The state police commissioner, Rodney Brewer, hasn't got a clue about what his job entails or enforcement at all. Because the state police commissioner said that this was going to make it hard for police to catch marijuana growers because of industrial hemp, which is a bold-faced lie, folks. For one thing, a marijuana grower, as we have repeatedly put out on the airwaves, in print, throughout all of our media outlets and many other media outlets that, you know, have all consistently said the same thing, that any marijuana grower who would plant a marijuana plant in the middle of an industrial hemp field has got to be a complete lunatic. It will dilute his product so much, as Ed Martin put it last night, you might as well smoke banana peels.
Well, you can't get high off the hemp, and this is the problem. Our governor obviously has been smoking something else that you can get high off, because he goes about the same old crap about, oh, he'd like there to be a study. And they've been studying this thing for over a decade. They let the Hemp Commission sit dormant for several years. My good friend John Riley was on the original Hemp Commission in state government, and they were studying this thing at the University of Kentucky years ago. So when they come up with this crap, oh, we need to study it, it's just more bureaucratic talk. Like, form a committee to form a committee. They don't want to be first. And the stupid governor sat there on the airwaves with Joe Elliott, and he said, we need to not worry about being first. We need to be careful. Well, that's why you're dead last, and you're a dumbass, governor.
Well, you know, and that's the thing. And, you know, I really want to set the record straight here, Dale, because I do not want anybody thinking that we're speaking bad about Governor Beshear when it comes to smoking marijuana. We're absolutely not doing that. Governor Beshear's drug of choice is not marijuana. So, you know, I don't want to make any of these potheads feel like they have something in common with this idiot, all right?
The government says he can smoke. I mean, they come up with this crap about what if they try to grow hemp and then hide marijuana in it. Well, based on that, then we better outlaw all the import of sugar because someone might try to sneak cocaine in the sugar.
Well, now you're getting closer to the drug of choice.
Okay. Well, and we better also get rid of kids' chemistry stats because that might lead to meth labs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, a meth lab is a small business. Just think if the meth labs could all get together and sponsor a new building for University of Louisville or something, that'd be a success. They would be
well,
out there in
front
of the building saying, we'd like to thank the Meth Lab Association for our new chemistry building.
Well, you're absolutely right. And you know, it's really incredible what in the hell is going on with all of this. Governor Beshear does not want industrial hemp because he's scared marijuana might grow more. Instead, he would just go ahead and put out some bullshit bill. And I did say bullshit, folks. Sorry about that. But he puts up some bullshit bill to do the so-called pill mill crap that's not effective whatsoever. There are no pills leaving the streets in Kentucky. I can tell you that for sure right now. And he's totally ignoring the biggest rising former drug problem that we had in Kentucky before that we have now, thanks to the Mexican cartels going through Detroit and Indianapolis. We call it heroin. So rather than deal with the real drugs that are destroying the community fabric of our neighborhoods, no, he wants to go ahead and go after something that's very minimal at best, that really is basically a choice drug, not necessarily something you're addicted to. So this governor doesn't have a clue.
Well, you talked about the bill being dead in the House. I don't think you got a chance. Did you tell the audience or have you read yourself yet about what happened today when the committee
was
supposed
exactly.
to re-meet?
Yeah, okay. That's what we were getting ready to get into. Okay. We've already got the phones lighting up, so let's get a couple of calls in quick.
Okay, let's do it.
But I imagine this is going to take most of the show. All right. I think this is our good friend Andy. Is this true?
Yes.
So,
how are you guys doing?
Not bad.
What's going on? Man, I mean, you know what? I think 2 weeks ago I heard when the head of the state police said that his people weren't smart enough to recognize hemp from marijuana. Now,
I knew that.
Said something that makes a lot of sense to me. First of all, this is not the 60s. Most of this weed that's grown around here in this area is all endo.
Mm-hmm.
70-80% of it is endo. So anybody that's actually done got them a clientele, like you said, they're not looking to water down their product with something that's not going to get these people high. So that's not even common sense from the perspective of if they don't know what the plant looked like. That just goes to the level of training in the Kentucky State Police. I remember. What was it, about 7 years ago? Remember they stopped these Middle Eastern guys. They had some dried goat yogurt packaged in kilos.
Yummy.
And, here in Jefferson County, stopped them and ran the test on it. And it had a certain alkali content to it, but kind of found out it was all goat yogurt and dried goat yogurt. So it's just. I mean, anybody can be fooled, but the truth of the matter is just say that, hey, we don't want to give up our money on this drug war because the ATF and DEA and all these other guys make way too much money on the drug boogeyman.
Well, what's really fascinating, too, though, I mean, it is, and that's exactly it. It's all about the money and what they can control. You know, I mean, the bottom line is this. Beshear, Abramson, Greg Stump on those guys, you know, they're going to protect the money that keeps them in power. And a lot of that money comes through drug sources, folks. Can we prove definitively that it does? No. So we'll just have to state that that's my opinion. You know, but at the same time, I mean, when it comes to this argument, it can't get any more clear cut. If there's a bipartisan effort at all out there at the national level, we certainly reached it in Kentucky. When you've got Senator Rand Paul standing up for it, Representative Massey, Representative John Yarmuth. I mean, he's the most left-leaning liberal in Washington, and he sits there and says that industrial hemp is the way to go, that we can be easily towed apart. And then, of course, we had testimony from Bill Clinton's former CIA director, James Woolsey, who flat out stated that a drug dealer who would plant marijuana next to hemp would have to be stupid and high already to do so. He also said it is very easy to tell the two plants apart. So, you know, this is nothing more than the Democratic House trying to control what the hell is out on the street. They're not going to stop the heroin. They're not going to go after the pill mills. No, we're going to go after a low-level piece of garbage, scum, bucket, drug dealer that happens to grow marijuana in his house. Because, quite frankly, this bill took care of all the police concerns. It's not like you're going to get a license unless you're doing at least 10 acres. You're going to have to register every year. You're going to have to tell them who your buyers are. So they're going to be able to follow up on everything here. The police enforcement part of that is going to be paid for off of the profits. So, you know, what gives here? It's not like it's going to cost the state anything, but it's going to make us millions. What is their problem?
Yeah, it's like you said, Ed. They've got the House Democrats, Kentucky House Democrats, the governor and the state police. That's who's on one side. On the other side is the entire rest of the state of Kentucky. They know they're going strictly against the will of the people. We know that all these polls show that people want this overwhelmingly. We know the state Senate passed it out unanimously at the Senate committee. We know it got off the Senate floor with only about six. I talked about it on my show last week. I think it was like 30-6. So this thing was unanimous out of the Senate committee. This thing had, like you said, bipartisan federal representation. It's got all the people behind it. Even the media are printing the polls showing that people all want it. So it's Beshear and about five or six in House leadership and the Kentucky State Police that are going to keep us from being a state that moves ahead.
Well, it's even the ultra-liberal rag, the Courier-Journal. I mean, the Courier-Journal puts out these bluegrass polls that I think are a joke. I don't necessarily believe in their polls because the numbers are always skewed. But even the Courier-Journal couldn't beat down the numbers below 62%. You know, even the Courier-Journal's own poll that they're willing to concede, 62% of Kentuckians favor industrial hemp. Now, that means that the number is probably closer to 82 or 85% because of the way their polls usually go. But that is alarming. I mean, it really is that we continue to allow this kind of crap to happen. And what's really fascinating is this happened because they decided that they were going to do it, whether anybody liked it or not. You look at Tom McKee. Tom McKee is a Democrat out of Cynthiana. He's the Agriculture and Small Business Committee chairman. You know, he adjourned a daggone committee this afternoon without taking a vote on the Senate Bill 50, which is a bill concerning industrial hemp. He closed the meeting and never reconvened. Say he was going to reconvene later in the afternoon, but decided not to. Then he tried to say somebody else had the meeting room, which is not true. You know, the whole thing was that Jamie Comer had made a motion to have a vote on this in committee, and he shut it down and said that Comer was out of order, which he was not. He followed the rules of the daggone quorum. He followed the rules of the committee. He did everything right, and McKee tried to say that he was out of order and refused to allow a vote to happen, all to favor his good friend Greg Stumbo and Steve Beshear. And, you know, so he decided to lie. He decided to abuse his power. He decided to go against the rules of order. I mean, you know, what do you do here? What do you do? Is anything going to be done? No.
I got a question, guys. If you can truly, if they were really against eradicating weed, wouldn't it make sense to promote hemp growth so the hemp could cross pollinate and make the weed crop pretty much null and void?
Well, you know, you got a point there, Andy. I mean, like you said, everything, like you said a minute ago, is either indoor or hydro. It's not. You really don't plant a lot of weed out in open fields anymore.
Right, I know, but I'm just saying, but if that's their argument, wouldn't it make sense? Like right now, the places like out there in California, where we know they're growing that stuff out in open, just fly across there with C-130s, drop some seed in there among them. You know what I mean? And let the hemp go crazy.
Hey, you know, it makes sense, but you're asking the impossible here because you're asking them to use common sense. You know, they're not going to do something like that because they know that weed is not the problem. They can't even put an idea like that out there, Andy, because they know that weed isn't the problem, and they'll be shot down even quicker.
Well, what's the deal with I don't understand the deal with the other question is, what's the deal with this artificial marijuana, bath salts and all that. Now, it seems like they understand, they seem to cut Indiana and Kentucky seem to be getting a handle on that. Why can't they get a handle on, understand the difference between this other stuff that you're talking about?
Because they know that they can tell the difference on it. They don't want to get a handle on it because they want to protect the people that are funding them. Paul, you're on. What can we do for you, man?
You know, you have opened up a Pandora's box
I usually do.
And in fact, I find this topic to be really juicy because there's a lot of different angles that I see that makes a lot of sense if you stop and think about it. First of all, this isn't about the public good and welfare. The politicians are debating this. Whoa.
Hold on a second. Andy, I'm going to have to mute you for a minute. I'm getting a lot of background noise, okay? All right, try that again, Paul.
Okay. This isn't about the health and welfare of the citizens of Kentucky. This is all about economics, as most things are, okay?
Mm-hmm.
In a kind of an ironic twist, the Kentucky State Senate, which is dominated by the Republicans, and the Republicans are generally considered to be the, you know, the staid law and order kind of folks. The Senate has decided that we want to change the law. So the Republicans are actually saying, we want to change the law and do it the correct way. Democrats over in the House, on the other hand, are saying, no, we don't want the law changed. We're quite happy with the way things are. Now, who's the leader over in the House?
Greg Stumbo, of course, yeah.
Greg,
you know.
And Ed, what city is Greg Stumbo from?
Oh, gosh. Dale, help me out here, man, because I can't think off the top of my head.
Prestonsburg.
Yeah, Prestonsburg. That's it.
Prestonsburg. Now, Prestonsburg happens to be down in southeastern Kentucky, as I recall, kind of close to coal country, but more importantly, really close to the Daniel Boone National Forest, which takes a very large swath out of southeastern Kentucky. Oh, and haven't the feds been concentrating on busting marijuana growers down in the Daniel Boone National Forest?
Well, sure.
Okay, so to me, Ed, it seems like that the Democrats over in the House and Pat Paul Beshear, as Dale likes to refer to him, it seems to me that these guys are getting really excited and expending a lot of emotional energy and a lot of capital, political capital, protecting the current growers of marijuana. Now, why would they do that?
Well, ultimately, like I said, I mean, I think that's exactly it. They're going to pick and choose who's going to be allowed to get marijuana out there. I mean, it's like anything else. You know, don't tell me for one second that law enforcement doesn't bust these petty daggone drug dealers because they're not getting paid off by somebody bigger. I believe that. I firmly believe that. I think that for every drug bust that you see out there that law enforcement is given, it's because some heavy-hitting drug dealer said, hey, they're getting to be competition. We need them out of the way. Okay, well, here's your payoff. Take care of it. Go ahead.
Now, Ed, your point that you just said, just now, I have an absolute true story that I just heard today from a very reliable source.
Okay.
And it doesn't have anything to do with marijuana, but it has to do with a government agent acting in the official capacity of a government agent that made the offer to this individual to shut the competition down. And it had to do with another regulated drug involving alcohol. A store owner that I know, I spoke with them today. They were in the process of getting looking into a liquor license, and somehow ran across a contact with the local ABC, and the local ABC person met with him, told him what they needed to do, and the local ABC person said, oh, by the way, your neighbor down the street is selling liquor illegally. Do you want me to shut them down?
Does he have the name of that person?
That's not the relevant point right now.
Sure it is.
The point is here is that when government gets involved in anything, nothing fair happens. Nothing fair happens. Nothing.
Well, there's no doubt about that. And, you know, and I would tell your friend if he wants to feel free to call me. I would love to expose something like that. You know, but, I mean, you know, again, and that happens every day. But people, and I'm sure your friend's one of them. No offense. I'm not talking bad about your friend. But he'll never make a call. He'll never do anything about that out of fear of repercussions. You know, and you know, he's got a business to protect. So that's the problem.
If that's happening here in Jefferson County, it's happening down in Frankfort, except the stakes are much higher. So, you know, we've got corruption in government top to bottom. It doesn't matter where it is in government. Government officials, particularly the higher you go, are the more corrupt, and that's what's happening on this marijuana issue. Jane Comer recognized the intrinsic value of having the Kentucky farmer profit from growing industrial hemp. But the people with the big money and the big influence, the Bashirs, the Greg Stumbos, and a whole bunch of other people down in Frankfurt, view that as a threat to their income, which is they are benefiting from as a result of the illegal growing of marijuana.
And there's also, no doubt.
About this. If they really were concerned about a Kentucky farmer, and you all have mentioned this already, it would make economic sense for the reasons that Dale and Andy both also stated to plant industrial hemp to dilute the potency of homegrown marijuana. But, you know, when Stumbo and Bashir get this excited and are fighting this hard against this, and this is a red flag, they have got something at stake. They run the risk of losing big money.
And I'll tell you what they've got at stake in just a minute. Dale, go ahead.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, the thing is, Paul is correct about the money, and this is the thing. The Kentucky State Police is not reluctant because it has anything to do with hemp resembling marijuana, because it's not. It has to do with everything with them losing their war on drug money from the feds. Their war on drug money amounts to about $1.2 million a year in federal grants awarded by the DEA to the state police in Kentucky. And according to their own website, you know, I don't know if we give them credit for being honest or maybe the state police should hide this information, but according to the Kentucky State Police's own website, they issue a total of a mere 42 citations and 8 arrests. Now, you look as big as Kentucky is. You imagine how big this state is. It takes 5 hours to get across it. And in a whole year, that's what they did with their $1.2 million. They issued 42 citations and 8 arrests.
And that's nothing new, though, because if you look at that $1.2 million federal grant, I will promise you that they are misusing what that grant was given to us for anyway.
Yeah.
They do that continually. That's a known way. These federal grants are a known way that cities, Louisville does it all the time with these federal grants. They take this federal grant money, they don't follow the provisions of the grant, and then they just hope they don't get caught. If they do get caught, they pay a small fine, but they get to keep the grant money, which is totally absurd.
Yeah, they got this massive, this massive budget that includes renting a helicopter to identify growth sites. So you're going to tell me that a state that takes 5 hours or more to get from one end to the other, that you issued less than one citation per week and less than one arrest every 6 weeks?
Oh, I'm with you there. Yeah. Let's get our good friend Mr. Clinton Hardy from Kentucky Grassroots Radio on. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine tonight, Ed. A little bit hopping mad, but I'll be okay on this.
What do you think about that crap McKee pulled, man?
Well, let's start out with the whole story. Rita Smart played her part. She is a representative as well. She's on the committee as a Democrat. And she started asking nonsense questions that was already given to her in a packet. James Comer, as well as the other Department of Agriculture, as well as the Hemp Commission. She asked, you know, tell me about the product, being a farmer herself, and
right.
Is the Department of Agriculture too busy, and are they setting up a business plan or startup plan for our farmers? And she kept looking up at the clock. And 10 minutes to 10, when, the ranking member, Representative DeCesare, tried to bring up the bill, which the actual chairman had brought up and said it's in order to vote on. When he voted the motion, it was seconded on just by about the entire committee, you know, save a few, which was all the Republicans, it looked like, and the vast majority of the Democrats on the committee.
Mm-hmm.
Chairman McKee decided to rule that the motion on the floor and that all the seconds were out of order, okay, said that we needed to leave the meeting room 10 minutes early, mind you, at this point. Might have been 9, okay. This is what really happened. This is what's not been in the meeting or in the media except maybe here tonight and
right.
on social networking. Later on in that day, by directions of Greg Stumbo, basically told McKee to hold a non-quorum in his office. When agriculture committee members, both Democrats and Republicans, went to the committee,
mm-hmm.
the actual hearing, which they moved, mind you, It was originally in the Capitol Annex Room 129. They reconvened it early. Well, actually, it was an ongoing meeting. So they had it during the recess, because originally what's going to happen was, okay, the time ends at 10. They're going to reconvene, because the meeting's still ongoing, at 4:30 after the Kentucky House adjourns. All right? Are you hopefully y'all following these shenanigans?
We're with you.
All right. Then they decide to hold it early. When the committee members go to McKee's office to actually hold the meeting in a small room, on the door they say, the in certain effects, that the meeting had been canceled. So not only did he violate the Agriculture Committee rules, did he violate the Kentucky State House rules and violate rules of the General Assembly, he also violated the quorum rules. There was not a quorum present in, it was, I think, it was either three or four members of the committee. He did a general question, hey, do you have any questions about hemp? With nobody present, no citizens, none of the panels, they said no. Then he said, okay, I'm adjourning the meeting. That's
so,
how blatant this was.
Make sure I'm following here, Clint. So basically they lied, cheated, and stole to try to keep people from knowing the truth and shedding the light on the truth of day. And they they tried to stonewall. They tried to stifle and filibuster time. They tried to cancel meetings and close meetings and do everything in private. Hell, I don't know if you're talking about the state Democrats or the Jefferson County Republican Party there for a minute.
They
learned from each other, don't they, Clint?
This was even worse than anything, and I'll put it to you this. This is worse than anything that the Jefferson County Republicans or the state Republicans have done statewide, even at the county level, ever.
Well, it may be worse, but it's because they have more practice doing it. Like Ed always says on airwaves here, they've been running this state since the Civil War, so trust me, the other party would do the same thing if they had the power.
Right.
Well, we always refer to the two-party system as a uniparty anyway, because one is no different than the other, in my opinion. However, in this particular case, this raises all kinds of alarm bells. And, you know, what I'm really wanting to know now, when you look at Greg Stumbo, you said that Greg Stumbo is the one who requested this informal meeting, right?
No, it wasn't an informal meeting. It was supposed to be an impromptu. This is the way I would characterize it, an impromptu early reconvening, illegally, mind you, without a quorum in Senator or Representative McKee's office.
And I bet if you go through the Kentucky Open Records book, and I have a copy of it on the library shelf over here, I bet you if you get those free in the state capitol, by the way, I bet you if you go through the Open Records rules, I bet it violates those too.
Yeah.
Oh, there's no doubt about that one. I mean, that's clearly obvious. As soon as he ordered this basically a non-quorum meeting. Was Greg Stumbo in attendance at that non-quorum meeting, or do you know?
I don't believe he was. I think he was either in his office or on his way to the House floor.
Okay. So Stumbo's making a call with the Ag Committee, telling them what they can and can't do. And these guys are following like sheep. Of course, McKee, we know, is bought and paid for, and that's obvious now. You know, so what gives? What do we do from here, Clint? I mean, we can file, you know, charges. We can file ethics charges, but is anything going to be done?
I don't know if I think the representatives, if they had the guts, they would do it. I don't know if anybody who attended the hearing could do it. My take is this gross violation, like I said, at least six rules and violations as well as law violations that have been broken. What we're trying to do now as a plaintiff action is form a political action committee, whether it's called Hemp Pack or something else, get it together and go up to Mr. McKee's district, the 78th district, that's up northeast of Lexington.
What's really interesting here, too, is, though, McKee actually says that he's in favor of this, you know, in favor of industrial hemp. He also points out the fact that back in 2000, I believe it was, that he had already tried to make industrial hemp available. You know, but now he's wanting to do this because he's scared that without his substitute language, without allowing this so-called study and all this other stuff, that industrial hemp would not pass court muster. Now that's what he's trying to say now. He's trying to blame this on the federal ban. But as we know, even Rand Paul and John Yarmuth stood together and so they would be willing to work with the feds to get this ban lifted. And more importantly for our listening audience, what our listening audience has to understand is, you know, here in the United States, we bang on import megatons of industrial hemp every year. We buy our industrial hemp from Canada, Europe, and other places that's legal to grow. So, you know, we're not talking about, you know, doing something that's illegal here. We're not talking about trying to come up with a brand new product or reinvent the wheel. We're already using industrial hemp on a daily basis in our daily lives that's imported from outside of our country. So why would the United States federal government have a problem, you know, when you have John Yarmuth and Senator Rand Paul stepping up to the plate? Why would they have a problem saying, hey, you know what, let's work with them on industrial hemp? I can't see where that would be a problem.
3 points I want to make, and then I'll open it up to questions or whatever. Over half a million is of industrial hemp type products are imported in the nation every year. So that's one. Number two, when you have a situation where really two House members are standing in the way of at least 75, if not 80 of their colleagues on an issue, then you know that there's corruption. And three, 2.1 million instead of 1.2 is given to Project Unite, which Hal Rogers helps, you know, we can't forget his part in this crime syndicate here. With Project Unite relating to eradication, and it's mostly used for the aerial, the fuel, and the aerial overlooks of farming, and that 2.1 million is also included with about 50,000, give or take, that comes from the Commonwealth of Kentucky. So the bottom line in all of this is that KSP, Project Unite, Hal Rogers.
Okay, we've got some background noise.
Standing in the way.
Okay. Now, here's something else, too, and I think our listening audience needs to hear this. And Dale, weigh on this when you get a chance. But in the U.S. market, here's what we've got, folks. This is a December 2012 report that I'm looking at right now. I just posted it in the chat room for you guys who are in the chat room. You know, current industry estimates report that U.S. retail sales of all hemp-based products in the U.S. exceed about $300 million per year. That's retail sales. Because there is no commercial industrial hemp production in the U.S., of course, we have to import everything. And what's really fascinating is we're not just importing the finished product that industrial hemp is in, whatever product that may be. All right, we're also importing industrial hemp used as ingredients for use in further processing. So somebody explain to me why. Why? We're importing all of this industrial hemp. We are not allowed to grow it. And we're closing the door on hundreds of millions of dollars a year that's going to create jobs and a tax base that our government says they have to have.
This is simply the DEA. I mean, the Drug Enforcement Agency acts like a terrified little baby when it comes to basic science. For years, the DEA and this scam National Institute for Drug Abuse have made it all but impossible to develop anything of research when it comes to medical marijuana or hemp. And so you got this battle going on. The DEA themselves have this ultra tight restrictions on marijuana, and then from that they do the jump to hemp, and then this National Institute for Drug Abuse, and they control the availability of the tiniest quantity of marijuana that's federally approved. Clint was just talking about they want to add out these substitutes today in Frankfurt about studying it and all this. They've been studying it at the University of Kentucky for years.
Right.
Well, there's no doubt. And see, here's the other part of that equation. Kentucky is already allowed by law. Back in the 90s, Kentucky is one of nine states that have already legalized cultivation of industrial hemp. Mm-hmm. Hawaii, Kentucky, Maine, Maryland, Montana, North Dakota, Oregon, Vermont, and West Virginia. The only problem has always been the federal law still prohibits cultivation. So you have to get permission from the DEA that you just mentioned, Dale, in order to grow hemp. So here's the thing. We've already got it legal in Kentucky to cultivate. We don't have the political will or the cojones, if you will, to go ahead and follow through with cultivation of industrial hemp without federal approval. We've got our federal representatives willing to lay it on the line in Washington and confront the DEA to get permission for us to do so. This Kentucky House, Greg Stumbo, Steve Beshear, and the House Democrats, I mean, I've got to be honest with you guys, they're nothing but a bunch of whiny-ass titty babies that are scared they're going to have something that they're not going to get paid for.
Well, I just told you that today on the radio when Papaw Beshear was doing an interview with Joel Elliott, he just sounded like a complete moron. He was talking about how he doesn't care if we're first and we need to stop trying to jump to be too quick. And that, this is why we're in the last in all these categories in the country. This is why we hope that Mississippi doesn't secede from the Union soon, because we end up 50th in a lot of the major categories in the United States. And we're going to end up being behind on this issue, too. I think that I'm a good friend, Thomas Massey, who I think is a freaking genius and a House of Representatives member. He said it on the testimony he gave. Everybody remembers who was first when it comes to a search engine, first when it comes to XYZ product. If you're the first, you're going to make a lot more money on it than who's second or third. And other states are going to get ahead of us on this. So we have the fertile land. I mean, the land is the most fertile in Kentucky. But right now, New Hampshire has already put this thing through one body of their state legislature as getting ready to go to the full floor of the second body. So we're getting behind these other states because of this nonsense.
Well, isn't that typical of Kentucky? Go ahead, Clint.
Let me adjust one thing that's kind of killed the committee substitute that McKee is basically doing as a lackey for Greg Stumbo. The bottom line is we did a study in 1998 that did a full economic impact. Comer has asked, and it's going to come out somewhere between April 2nd and April 30th, a new updated, vastly inclusive study on industrial hemp and its economic impact on the state of Kentucky. But not just economic, but that's going to be the main component. And so we're going to pass a committee substitute to ask for something that's coming in a little over 30 days to 45 days. And we're going to pass a law to pass the buck and delay it another year for something that's already going to happen.
Well, and, you know, and it's fascinating, too, because Representative McKee, he actually lied to the Courier-Journal, too. You know, I think the House votes were there. I think Jamie Comer was right that he had the votes to get it out of committee and send it to the floor. McKee actually came out later when he spoke with the Courier-Journal today and said that the House committee members wanted more time to digest what they heard in the meeting because it was their first chance to hear information about the bill. Now, we know that's a lie. Clearly, you were there. We know all of this. He just cut the vote off. Nobody said they wasn't ready to vote. This must have happened in that non-quorum informal meeting they had later. So when we look at all of this in play, it's clearly obvious that this is a concerted effort to keep Kentucky backwards, I mean, for lack of a better word. I don't know any other way to put it. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to continue with this. This is incredible to me. Just stay tuned, folks. Listen to the Ed Spreaker Show right here on the MVM Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Spreaker of the My View Matters Radio Show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
I'm here to give you anything you like. You want free college, energy, mortgages, whatever you like. You have come to the right place. Why? I'll tell you why. Who can take your money?
Who can take your money?
With a twinkle in their eye.
A twinkle in their eye.
Take it all away and give it to some other guy. The
Man, you just got to love it. That's The Government Can by comedian Tim Hawkins. You can find that song at timhawkins.net. This guy's incredible. If you like that song, you're going to love his other stuff, let me tell you. Going into break, I've got to tell you, folks, it's really disturbing to me, with all the problems we have in Kentucky, that our Kentucky Democrats in the House would try to lie, cheat, and steal to keep a bill from being voted on that deserves to be voted on. I mean, we know that they do this stuff in other areas, But to blatantly ignore committee rules, the House rules, anything among that, like quorum rules, open meetings rules. I mean, these guys are incredible at what they'll try to protect. Going into break, we're talking a lot about what industrial hemp can do for us. I think it was Dale, had pointed out New Hampshire, what's going on up in New Hampshire. They're going to do a second vote on their industrial hemp. We know that there are 9 states that already have it legalized in the state to cultivate industrial hemp. That includes Kentucky. What gives, guys? What is it going to take to make this happen?
Well, you got a governor, like I said, this is the luckiest governor in history. Look at the fact that he got into office by beating Ernie Fletcher and got reelected by beating David Blackjack Williams. So he's the luckiest governor in history. The difference in New Hampshire is they have a Democrat governor too, but she has much bigger balls than Beshear does.
Well, I find more often than not, when you get outside of Kentucky, especially with the women in politics, and I got news for you. There, for a long time, nobody wanted women in politics. Now, I would never claim that Nancy Pelosi is a woman, because I think she's a man in disguise. She's got bigger balls than anybody. But, when we look at this, I got news for you. I like women in politics because they're not scared to stand up. What is it about these wimps like Abramson and Beshear and Stumbo who are scared to do the right thing, or are they just not paid to do the right thing?
Well, but Beshear doesn't have anything to worry about. I mean, he's in the same situation that dear leader Obama is. He's not going to run for any higher office. I mean, God forbid, we don't think Beshear's going to be dumb enough to take on the U.S. Senate race again. So he's pretty much done unless he has bigger ambitions that he doesn't want us to know about. So he doesn't have to worry about, making any more money. So I don't know if he's involved in one of these bait and switches or these shell games that Obama's doing. Like I heard you and Mr. Martin talking about how Obama's trying to flip this money around, because I don't know what Beshear's got to lose. I guess Kentucky State Police has some goods on him that he doesn't want out or something.
Well, what really makes this so startling to me, and Paul Klein, feel free to weigh in on this as well, but what really makes this so startling to me is Kentucky is broke.
Yep.
We're going to be broke. We've got a pension problem in Kentucky that has to be addressed. We'll talk about that in just a second.
Yep.
But right now, the state of Kentucky, I mean, if you go to usdebtclock.org and check out your state debt clock, Kentucky leads the nation in one other category. We're the worst run state in the nation. We've got a debt to GDP ratio of about 26%. So we're not taking care of the money we have. We're borrowing more money than we take in. We're basically running the state like they're doing the country right now, right into the ground. And then we've got this pension reform that's going to be looming over the top of our heads forever. They're talking now that at the latest that they've got to have $120 million needed each year to fully fund pension reform. So here we've got a great product. It's easily grown. It's going to create jobs. It's going to create money. It's a perfect answer to a bad situation in Kentucky, and nobody wants to talk about that.
The problem with the KRS system, this dirty little secret, and I've seen it on a couple of blogs, but maybe not on a widespread radio audience before, but the Kentucky retirement system keeps buying private equity, and it makes little sense for a plan that's just about 25-27% funded and needs liquid assets to buy the most illiquid investments. KRS does that every couple of months. I mean, Kentucky Retirement Systems has the highest fees through private equity, that's where you're going to get the highest fees with private equity. And guess what? It also makes it easier to provide kickbacks. And private equity is tough to break up and sell.
Wait a minute. Can we go back to that last line? What was that?
I said private equity has the highest fees, and the Kentucky Retirement System is committing, for example, if you look at their own numbers here.
That was intentional, Dale, because I like the term kickbacks, because that's exactly what you expected here.
I took the bait. That's fine. But right. I mean, you can look it up, and you can see here that private equity makes it easier to provide kickbacks. Private equity is tough to break up and sell, which means KRS could be buying private equity with reckless abandon, and that way they can make it more difficult for CERS to pull out of the system. It's full of cover-up and corruption, my friends.
Exactly, and I totally agree with that because, as we know, there's a story out, I believe it was sometime last year. I had to look for that story, folks. I apologize for not having it readily available. But didn't we already have one equity firm that was under investigation for what they were doing with the Kentucky Retirement System?
Yep.
Am I wrong in that or am I right?
No, I think you're right. I know I'm right. But I think you're right.
I know I'm right. That's the point because we already know that these kickbacks are going on. Kickbacks happen in every area of Kentucky. It is common practice. I mean, look at the Transportation Department alone, for goodness sake. How many people have been caught getting kickbacks from contractors when they were supposed to be painting a bridge? Bridge that was supposed to cost $13 million
right.
ended up costing over $52 million.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yes.
How many kickbacks were involved in the KFC Yum Center? You know, there are all kinds. I agree. There's all kinds of things here. So that's what makes it so ludicrous for me because we're looking at this industrial hemp situation, and I think ultimately what it really comes down to, and this is really the crux of the whole problem. At the beginning, I said they can't find a way to get paid for it. And you just mentioned kickbacks. And honestly, I believe that is the whole problem. These guys haven't found a way to get money off of industrial hemp that they can put in their pocket in cash. Because if they regulate it the way that they're supposed to, by forcing registration every year, by forcing you to submit who your buyers are and everything else, then that money is going to be tracked, isn't it?
Well, how many times have they tried to pass measures on reform? I mean, Senate President Robert Stivers, and I will say this again, thank God he's much better than David Williams.
Mm-hmm.
And Senate President Robert Stivers said that this is the fourth time in 8 years that the state Senate has passed measures on reform.
Well, that's exactly it. And Greg Stumbel's answer to the pension problem is not bringing in industrial hemp where we can take on $100 million a year easily in tax revenue that's going to go a long way towards $120 they need for the retirement pensions. No. What he wants to do is work on House Bill 416. And that's the slot-like instant racing game that we continue to talk about and laugh about across this state and across the nation. According to Stumbel, fully funded, once instant racing gets to where they think it's going to go, because it's going to take a few years to get there, then it's going to create about $30 million a year to the state. And they're expected to have some new money coming in from new Kentucky lottery games, and all this other gimmick financing. Now, the reality is...
Right.
When people are broke, they can't afford to gamble. So the chances go ahead.
Let me weigh in here. I went to the Kentucky Pension Rally today and heard from Jim Waters of the Bluegrass Institute, as well as the Covington vice mayor, who helped fix the pension reform in Covington relating to the budget problem. Their state budget problem coming from retirees, if you look at reality, is $80 million. That's at the fact that they invest, and I'm talking about the state of Kentucky here, invest 45% in various bonds and treasury notes. And in the past, in the 80s and the 90s, these actuary tables, you got about a 7.5% yield, 7.5% or so growth rate. Now, they're growing at a rate of between 1.8% and 3.5%. So what you're actually seeing in the Kentucky State Senate and the Kentucky House when it comes to a shortfall on your pension, whether it be through the COLA, the cost of living increase, or the actual total itself, or broken down going to metropolitan cities, it's much larger. The problem is it's not just the money that you mentioned, but it's $300 million a year, and if you look at what it's really based on, when all this crashes, whether it be 2018, 2020, 2022, or 2024, depending on what study you look at, it's really $1 billion a year. And you're not going to be able to when you don't have the 7.5% growth, it's really, you know, 1.5% to 3.5% return. You're not going to be able to borrow against that, and you're not going to be able to borrow against new benefits. You know, people paying in each year, the actual retirees, or the people who are work, or the people who are going to be employed 2013 on. You're going to have to pay for it as you go.
Well, and that's exactly it. So now, see, the whole problem is we've still got all of this going on. We know these things. We know these things. We know that what you're saying is right. We know that, you know, all of these people are right when they talk about what we need in pension reform and everything else. Even Greg Stumbo, when he talks about House Bill 416, admits fully that his plan and his bill falls very short of getting the money we need for Kentucky pension reform. You know, the Republicans aren't going along with it at all. He's going to have some Republicans, because he's going to need 60 votes for approval in the House, so he's going to have to get some Republicans to switch sides. So, you know, we've got to look at this, what's really going on here, and it's disturbing, because we know that Stumbo and these guys are getting paid, and they can take me to court all they want to. We know they're getting paid by the gambling interests in this state. We know that. Instant racing is the only thing they've got on their mind, and it's not going to produce a dime for anything meaningful.
Well, Ed, the thing I want people to remember, and this is definitely be a topic for another night, but if people are listening, I want to look this up. I want them to go look up something called CAFR, Comprehensive
Annual Financial Reports.
And just for the record, they can start out by looking at the fact that if you go back, I'm trying to find the numbers real quick here in our limited time. If you go back 10 years, it was a known fact that Kentucky had so much money just sitting there, and basically it was about $5.5 billion. I just found the document. This is a document from 10 years ago saying that we had $5.5 billion in surpluses of tax money that we were just sitting on. Because this is where these comprehensive annual financial reports come from. These are government surpluses, funds that are not required or needed for the operation of government operations. So one of two things is going on. Either we've lost $5.63 billion in less than a decade, or that money is still there. So which is it?
Well, I think you ultimately bring up a valid point and a valid question. Unfortunately, it's not a question we'll ever have answered the right way.
Ed, I want to ask Clint something. Is he still on the line?
Yes.
I'm on.
Hi, Clint. Clint, were you down there in Frankfort during this whole debacle that you reported on?
I was there at the committee meeting. I was one of the first people there, 10
okay.
people there. I was there before any of the committee members were there.
Okay. The reason I'm asking that for the listening audience is that one of the things that Clint experienced as far as the committee chair controlling the amount of time that people got to talk on it, when we were fighting about some MSD issues down in Frankfort, Steve Riggs, the Democrat chairman of the committee that we were in front of, told us at the top of the meeting that he was going to let us speak. Problem was, they only allocated an hour, and the other side occupied or took up 50 minutes of that 60 minutes, and we didn't have much of a time to rebut anything. So that particular technique that Clint fell victim to, apparently that is a standard technique in the Kentucky House of Representatives. Also, I want to add something else, too. I happen to know that Clint is not a wealthy guy, that he's a working guy, and it sounds to me like Clint may have had to take today off in order to take care of this particular matter, which, of course, works to their advantage because, you know, the working folk, they don't have as many options to go down in Frankfort and lobby on behalf of issues that they're really concerned about. And then when they get down there, look what happened to Clint. This is the way they treat us.
Well, you're right. I mean, and that we're aware of. So, but we have been complaining about that for quite some time, some of us anyway. Okay, so the question is, how do we get this changed? How do we get this changed? Because they're not willing to listen to the people at all. They're obviously not going to do things the way that they're supposed to do by rule and by law, you know, and the people to hold them accountable are what? Themselves. They hold themselves accountable. This is a uniparty at work, folks. They keep us from having an illegitimate voice, you know, and I just am stumped. I totally am stumped.
No, you're not stumped. You know what the solution is. You just don't want to talk about it. It's the same solution that the colonists ran into when stubborn old England refused to listen to their concerns. And you don't want to talk about that as a solution.
No, it's not a matter of not wanting to talk about it, Paul. I talk about that all the time. Stand up and be recognized. It's not a matter of talk. What I'm tired of doing is talking about it. That's what I'm tired of doing because nobody will stand up. Everybody is so scared and has this fear of repercussions for the most part. Not all of us, as Clint clearly proves, as I clearly prove, Dale, you know, and everybody else who listens to this show. You know, we don't have those problems. We'll stand up. We'll do what we have to do. Our problem is we are a minority that is failing to grow exponentially that can get something done. I mean,
and
let's
so
face facts
the,
here.
So were the revolutionaries way back when, Ed. They were clearly a minority. The status quo at that time was let's not make any waves. Maybe the English people, maybe the English rulers will kind of forget us, you know. Maybe they'll treat us better if we show loyalty to them. And it didn't get any better.
Well, the problem
it didn't
is
get any better.
The issue we're dealing with here, Paul, we've got it down to the state government. This just proves that all tyrants are tyrants, whether they're local tin-horn dictators all the way up to the United Nations. But we like to think we have more control in a Frankfurt or an Indianapolis or a Nashville when it comes to our own state. So, you know, to address the elephant in the room, if you will, we know that the big answers, if it comes to a federal issue, are twofold. And that's one, nullification, and two, secession. Nullification and secession are the only ways to stand up to the federal government. But the problem is this is happening right here in our own backyard in our state government.
Back in Tennessee a few years ago, there was a Tea Party protest. This was about 3 or 4 years ago during a Tennessee state legislative session. Okay, there was one particular issue that got a whole bunch of people excited. I don't remember what it was, but a local radio guy down in Nashville actually got on the air and started beating the socks out of that issue. He rallied a crowd down there to the state capitol. And they were so loud and so boisterous that the members of the legislature inside began to get concerned for their own safety as they were debating this bill. Well, the upshot of that is that these legislators felt so intimidated and were so scared, they decided to forget it. Forget it.
Yep.
They killed the bill.
So, yep. That was when Phil Valentine and Steve Gill, they were the leading conservative radio personalities in the town, got them started against the state income tax, because unlike Kentucky, Tennessee still does not have a state income tax. So, yeah, it'd be good to get the people scared, but if Clint's still on the line, hell, you can ask Clint. We have a few of them on the run already. What happened with Darryl Owens when people tried to confront him? He went and got state police to protect him.
Yeah, that's very true. Let
well,
me
Darryl,
make
Owens,
one
Darryl Owens is known as a sprinter in Frankfort, folks. For guys that don't know, Representative Owens.
He'd be a good sprinter.
Show up,
he'd be good at stealing televisions if he wasn't stealing our tax dollars.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if he sees me walking down the hall in Frankfort, he turns around and runs at a full race, man. I mean, he won't even let me
get near. He's got a 40-yard dash down that would rival most of the people in the NFL combine this week.
I think he's still playing the NFL at his age. I really do. You know, go ahead, Clint.
One last point, Nick. Nullification was mentioned. It was actually mentioned in the committee meeting. And this has nothing to do with any of the shenanigans, actually, so I don't want to put this representative in with this. But Representative Denham, a Democrat, actually said that he didn't want to nullify this law, and he wanted to make sure that nullification was not in this bill. And I thought that was really interesting that he was opposed and he wanted to make sure that Senate Bill 50 had nothing to do with nullifying federal law.
Not a surprise to me at all. These guys are when they get worried, they play these games. We're definitely in overdrive right now, folks. We're going to take another call real quick. I believe this is our good friend Mayo. What can we do for you, sir?
Yes, it is, Ed. Number one, I mean, Clint doesn't know me from Adam, but just want to thank him for, you know, what he did and, you know, going down there in his day and his time, you know, to be able to report on that. So many points you all touched on, it's, you know, the main word, like you said, was accountability. It's they have a fiduciary responsibility, you know, to the taxpayers, and the laws are there. How come, you know, like you were saying, more people don't stand up and call them out on it?
Well, the only person that could realistically do anything about it would be the Attorney General Jack Conway, who is bought and paid for anyway. So, You're not going to get the Attorney General to do his job. He's not going to hold anybody accountable. He's proven that over and over.
He started his governor's campaign yet?
Man, I hope he does, and I hope he loses again. Jack Conway should be through in politics. The guy can't get elected to anything. But, you know, it's very interesting. It's very interesting because, again, that comes back to what I was saying a minute ago. The ones who police them are themselves. When Jack Conway, the top cop in the state, if you will, won't take on his own people because they're a member of his party, and he wants his party support in everything he does, you know, you've just blown the whole game. We don't have anybody that's a nonpartisan elected official in Kentucky, not at state level. We don't. We don't have anybody who has the legal obligation to sit here and hold party people accountable. You're not going to have Jack Conway do it. It's clear that Steve Beshear is obviously not going to do his job. He's bought and paid for and has been for years, and so is his Lieutenant Governor Jerry Abramson. So, you know, again, when we talk about that accountability factor, sure, we have a means of filing complaints. We have a means of doing all kinds of things, but nothing ever gets done. I can't tell you how many bar complaints that we have filed against lawyers right here in Louisville for things that they have done wrong. In any other state, they would have been disbarred. In our state, you don't even get an answer on it. The Judicial Conduct Commission, Katie King, the rampant drug use and everything else, all the stuff that she did illegal to get her job as a judge, you know, the Judicial Conduct Commission never acted on that. You know, then you get into Jim King and everything through the KREF, the Judy Greene debacle. You know, there's so many things, there's so many crazy things going on, not just in Louisville, but across the state, but we can't get any accountability because the people who are responsible to hold them accountable are bought and paid for by the same ones we're trying to get. So again, what are we going to do about it?
Like I said, my answer very clearly is start a super PAC and make Mr. McKee an example. On the local level, I really don't know what you do in Jefferson County. People in Jefferson County save very few districts, especially on the Metro Council level.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like the majority, in particular in the old Louisville area, the Urban Services District, are fine with the corruption.
Well, I can tell you this. Tom McKee is now on the radar. There will be a full investigation into Tom McKee. Into every part of everything that he's ever done. So let's hope he can handle that because there's a lot of people who've been investigated and thought they can handle it and found out different. So I guess Tom McKee will be the next person being investigated. You know, we have got to start standing up, and that's what we do here. We stand up, we try to investigate, we get the news out, we let people stay informed, and, you know, so we've just got to continue going down that road. Mayo, thanks for the call. Clint, if you can get that article to me tonight, and I'll make sure it gets up for you. Okay, I appreciate everything you brought to the table tonight. Thank you so much. Paul, thank you so much for the call. Dale, we are way into overdrive. Final thoughts, my friend.
Well, from Tom McKee, I'll take you back into a more favorable gentleman, and it's Tom Jefferson. You go back, and Thomas Jefferson was among all distinguished Americans in his time and in my mind today. And his draft of the Kentucky Resolutions of 1798 for the first time that the word nullification came into the American political life and language. And he followed up that resolution in 1799, his formulation that nullification is the rightful remedy when federal government reaches beyond its constitutional powers. In the Virginia resolutions, James Madison said that states were duty-bound to resist when government violates the Constitution. I believe Thomas Jefferson and James Madison are screaming out from the graves, death to the New World Order.
Well, there you go. And, you know, Tom McKee, for those who don't know, this is what really makes this kind of alarming, too. Tom McKee, you know, did his living as a tobacco farmer in Cynthiana, Kentucky. If there's anybody that knows how bad tobacco farmers and how bad farmers got screwed in this state, it should be McKee. When tobacco pulled out of Kentucky, thanks to the idiocy of Governor Paul Patton jumping on board this national tobacco settlement and everybody moved to North Carolina, our tobacco farmers were left with nothing. We now have an opportunity to give these guys a chance to fend for themselves and be successful again. It doesn't happen. For our good friend Clint Hardy, good luck with your pack against Tom McKee, and I'll tell you why. He doesn't win his elections by a large margin. The few times that he's been challenged in an election, the most he's ever gotten was 57% of the vote. So it's not going to take much work to beat this guy if we can tell everybody the truth about what he's all about. But the bottom line is a simple one. Kentucky faces major challenges And we're going to continue facing major challenges as long as we continue to have the idiocy we call the Democratic Party in Kentucky. It's that simple. Kentucky has problems because Kentucky has always been run by the Democrats. I'm sorry, folks. You can call me partisan. Call me what you will. Don't think that I think any higher of the Republicans. I don't. It's the Unit Party alive and well right here in the grand old Kentucky, USA. However, we have to have accountability somewhere. If the Democrats have done everything the way that they have and have screwed everything up, they've lost over $5 billion, according to the CAFR that Dale pointed out from 10 years ago, then it's time to move on. Elect a Republican. Make it easier for independents to get on the ballot. Let's start really going full force and changing the whole entire electoral process. Let's talk about term limits. Whatever it takes to get control, because the reality is they control us, and it's not supposed to be that way. In America, our system of government is based on of the people, by the people, and for the people. In other words, our Constitution grants us the power to hold them accountable. It's time you started waking up, America. It's time you started waking up, Kentucky, and holding these guys accountable. Let us start with Representative McKee, Representative Stumbo, and Governor Steve Beshear. And if you want to take that to the next level, go after Jack Conway, too. Because none of these guys are worthy of your vote. None of these guys are worthy of being elected to represent anyone. They represent themselves, they represent the corporate interests, and they don't mind screwing each and every one of you to get there. That's it for tonight. Tomorrow night, Dale, anything special?
Well, tomorrow is the 20th anniversary of the beginning of the U.S. government going in and destroying by fire a church. And that was whether it's Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, Janet Butcherino, whoever you want to call it. So we'll get back into some national issues. I just think it's very important to remember that tomorrow begins the 20th anniversary of the period of time during the Christian holiday season, by the way, when our U.S. government, not mine, but the U.S. government, went in and killed plenty of women and children because they had guns.
That's startling. And here we are 20 years later with the government buying up all the ammo so the citizens can't get ammo and going on this rampant hunt trying to take your guns as well. Gee, I wonder why. I'll look forward to the show tomorrow night, Dale. And don't forget, folks, Sunday night, as always, our good friend Ken Molman with Liberty Unbridled. With that, we are done. Have a great night. We'll see you tomorrow night at 7 right here with Dale the Truth. Take care.